home of sport. Time on with Jack Everon.
On a day where Port Adelaide and Ken Hinckley have certainly made it very clear what their expectations are for the club in 2020. Hello, welcome. Great to have your company here on Time On. Jack Everett to guide you through the night. Coming up this hour, we're going to start by picking up the conversation that Nick Del Santo and Dwayne Russell were having today about the genuine superstars in the competition. I'll play you that audio. It's all up, by the way, to the article on sen.com.au. Then I want to continue the conversation and pick your brain. It's Saints Membership Day. Molly McDonald from the Saints will join us. Is Stuart Dew in line for a contract extension? And the latest on Glenn Maxwell. He's back in the Aussie team, and now, unfortunately, he's out. You're with Time On here on SEN. Coming up towards the end of your Wednesday, it is the 12th of February. My name's Jack Everon. It's a great day to be alive and nice to be with you. 1300 736 736 is the number that you can call to join me at any stage this hour, or you can send me a text on the Speckle text machine as well. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 and they are paid fast. So that's how we're going to start the show tonight, by talking about the genuine superstars in footy. If you were listening to Dwayne and Dal this afternoon, you would have heard them. But they did it towards the back end of the hour and they just ran out of time to take calls and really pull it apart. I want to give you that opportunity. I'll set that up for you and play that audio in just a moment. Start tonight, though, with the news on Glenn Maxwell. If you have just joined us, or you flicked the dial or jumped in the car, he's been forced to stand down from Australia's tour of South Africa due to elbow surgery. He's only just got back into the team, but due to an elbow condition, he's going to have an operation. He saw a specialist surgeon in Melbourne, and that operation will take place very, very soon. It's going to see him sidelined for a minimum of 6, probably more like 8 weeks. That means that Darcy Short is going to come back into the Australian squad, which is a good opportunity for him to make his mark. And earlier today, Australia took on India in the Women's T20 Tri-Series final at the Junction Oval, just down the road here in Melbourne. And a big win for the Aussies. 6 for 155 they made from their 20 overs. From an Australian point of view, Beth Mooney, 71, not out. Ash Gardner, 26. And Elise Perry missed out this time. It was Meg Lanning batting at 4 who made 26 to help them to a healthy total. Bowling India out for 144. The wickets shared around. Taylor Vlaminck took 2 wickets for 32 from her 4 overs. Megan Shute, 1 wicket. Annabelle Sutherland, 1 wicket. But the star of the show with the ball was Jess Jonathan, 5 for 12 from her 4 overs. So well done to the Aussies. They celebrate. They were the best team in the series and have been duly rewarded with the recognition as well from winning the Tri-Series. So well done to all of the team involved in the Australian women's. Let's start tonight, though, with genuine superstars in the competition. 1300 736 736 to join me. If you missed it, here's what Nick Del Santo had to say earlier today on Dwayne's World, and then I want your thoughts.
Yep.
How many current superstars do we have in the competition as it currently stands right now? Now, I did a little bit more research. All and I right. got the actual definition of a superstar.
Right, okay.
An extremely famous and successful performer or sports player.
Five. Whole competition.
Five. And now the criteria of it is, which I think is important, because it's more than just the on-field. So clearly on-field, they need to be an absolute jet. But off-field, they need to have a presence. They've got to be marketable. They're A-list celebrities. They go to events. They're the ones that get the golden ticket to go to the big events. Yep. They want to be there. They either have presence, but you can also have mystique. They're head turners, Dwayne. These people on field and off field.
I'm with you, Dusty Mum.
Which incorporates being a superstar. So my five players. Nat Fyfe.
Yep, I agree with that, absolutely.
Dangerfield.
Yes.
Dusty. Buddy. And Ablett Jr.
So that's it.
That's it. They're the only superstars, by definition, the competition.
So Dal's saying that they are the only five superstars in the competition as we head to 2020. That list again: Dusty, Buddy, Gaz, Gary Ablett, Nat Fyfe, and Patrick Dangerfield. 1300 736 736 on the phone, or you can flick me a text on 0433 98 11 16. Who have they missed? Do you believe, and are you with Dal on this one? Are there only five genuine superstars in the competition right now? Are there more? Are there less, in fact, if you want to go the other way? And who have they missed? I want to make a case for one particular player who I think belongs in the superstar category straight away before I get stuck into your calls. They're just lining up as we speak. I'll give you a man who is everywhere and a superstar to me in every sense of the word. He's a regular guest on 360, which is the highest, one of the highest rating footy shows in Australia. He's got 82,000 Instagram followers, 57,000 Twitter followers. So his social presence is huge, which may not be a big deal to everyone, but if you're talking the word superstar, it's as much off the field as on the field. On the field, two flags, three Coleman medals, three All-Australians, two Richmond best and fairest, a Tasmanian Hall of Fame member. He's vice captain of a two-time premiership team, and he's kicked the second most goals in the last decade. So I want to add another one to the list of Dells, and I want to make number six, Jack Riewoldt. I firmly believe that Jack Riewoldt is a superstar of this competition. Agree or disagree with that one? 1-300-736-736. But that's how we're starting tonight, the genuine superstars in AFL footy as we head towards 2020. Let's get stuck into your calls. 1-300-736-736. We're going to start tonight with Darren in South Morang. G'day, Daz.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Good.
I'll declare first that I am a biased Carlton man, but Patrick Cripps. So we all know how good he is on the field and how great he is in the midfield. He can go forward. He can do everything. But the more that I hear him speak, and especially since he's come over as captain, I think there are some captains that you hear speak, and it's a bit like Luke Hodge, and you just listen and hang on every word they say. And I think that Cripps is getting to that point now. He just inspires you, and if you play for Carlton, you just want to play under him, I reckon.
Darren, I don't know what you think, but Oregon captaincy looks pretty good on Paddy Cripps. If you think back a couple of years, there were some Blues fans who were a bit worried that it would distract him and it was too heavy a load to carry, but I think he's taken it on and he's actually become a better player because of it.
Yeah, I think he's growing into the role year by year by year. I think by the time that he finishes up, he will be definitely in that superstar category, not just for the stuff that he does on field, but for the way that he leads the club on field.
Love your thoughts, Darren. Appreciate it. 1-300-736-736 on the phone. Genuine superstars in the competition leading into 2020. It's a fair debate. We were tossing this one around in the office this afternoon. There was four or five of us involved, having a couple of the producers here and a couple of the on-air team as well. We're tossing this around. There's a couple more names. I'm not going to go with all of them because I want you to tell me some of them. There's a couple more names out there that got unanimous support for superstars in the competition. I will tell you that Patrick Cripps was one of them. Patrick Cripps got support from everyone involved in our conversation this afternoon. But there are others. Tell me who we've missed. 1-300-736-736. The other way too, if you hear a name and you disagree, I'm happy for you to disagree. If you don't think that a player belongs in that superstar category, I'm happy for you to fly that flag as well. Matt in Hillside says, boys, the biggest surprise, in fact, that might have been for Bob and Andy. That wasn't for me, I reckon. Let's go to Ronnie in Bendigo. G'day, Ronnie.
G'day, Jack. How are you on this wonderful evening?
I'm exceptional, thank you.
Just with the Paddy Cripps, just a we had a family, my nephew died in a car accident last year, and one of the parents from his footy club to send him a nondescript message via Instagram, and then off his own bat, he came in on the Wednesday after the Brownlow, came and sat with my other nephew who was still in hospital for about 40 minutes, gave him a signed jumper, a signed teddy bear, said that we can come and sit in the rooms whenever we need to, you know, throughout this year, all off his own bat, doesn't get any kudos, but that's the kind of stuff that the AFL needs to really kind of, you know, give the players credit for. He didn't have to come and do that on his day off. He was feeling seedy after the Brownlow. So, like, he's just a star. So I just wanted to, you know, and I'm biased too. I'm a Carlton man, but he didn't have to come into the hospital to see my nephew for no reason other than just to try and cheer him up.
Yeah, so, thanks. Thanks for sharing that story, Ronnie. That's fantastic. I'm not going to get sidetracked right now, but I reckon it's one thing that we could all do a lot better. The entire industry could do a lot better of telling those stories because for every negative story about a player, there's 20 positive stories, exactly like Patrick Cripps. So, Ronnie, thanks for sharing your story. Jared's in Pakenham, and we're talking about the genuine superstars in the competition. Nick Del Santo listed five today. I've added Jack Riewoldt into that superstar category as well, but there will be others. Jared in Pakenham, and what are you making of all of this?
How we going, guys? I'm actually a diehard Tigers fan, so it hurts for me to say this, but Scott Pendlebury has to be in that category.
Tell me why. Make the case for Pendles.
He's as smooth as they come. He's one of the best ball users going around, and he's a genuine superstar. He's someone to go to the game to watch.
If you look at his resume, Jared, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. You look at the resume of Scott Pendlebury. I'll try and do this in order. So premiership player and Norm Smith medalist in 2010 in that premiership. Six-time All-Australian, including this year. AFL Coach Association Champion of the Year. Three-time Anzac Day medal. Two-time Bob Rose Charlie Sutton medalist for Collingwood. Five Copeland trophies and been the captain of the club since 2014. He's finished the season with 301 games. Yeah, that's the resume of a superstar, I reckon. I think we can tick that box. I think Scott Pendlebury very much belongs in that category. Ash is in Bacchus Marsh, has got some thoughts on this one. Evening, Ash.
How are you?
Good.
Scott Pendlebury, I'm a Collingwood supporter, but he's very boring. He's a champion. I think the best way with a superstar is to look at Sydney. Barry Round was a champion, and he was great. Warwick Capel was a superstar.
Yeah. Okay. So
like
this.
He even had his own video.
yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right. No. So this is. So you're saying from a. This is more about the off field and the persona and the larger than life kind of personality. Is that what you're taking in here, Ash?
Yeah, exactly. There can be greats. There can be champions, but then there's a superstar.
Yeah, I think what it's an interesting debate, this one, with Pendles. What has made Scott Pendlebury a superstar is the fact that he is so dedicated to his craft with the way he eats. He weighs and measures his foods. There's not an ounce of fat on him. His whole existence, now he's got a family and all that sort of stuff, but his whole existence is dedicated in a lot of ways to being the superstar that he's become. Yes, he's probably not the prime-time off-field player like that, but I also get the feeling that that's the way he likes it too. I appreciate your call, Ash, and thanks for reminding us about the Warwick Capel video as well. Off the speckled text, 0433 98 11 16. We go back to a couple of our earlier texts, and I did misread Matt from Hillside's text. Says, boys, the biggest superstar in the entire competition is none other than Alistair Clarkson. Now, that's left field, but I like where you're going there. I like where you're going there. Mo from Canberra says, I'm calling BS here. Lance Franklin is the only one to meet all of the criteria. So Mo believing that there is only one superstar in the competition. Paddy Cripps has 110,000 Instagram followers being pointed out, and a bit of love coming through off the speckle text as well. You can keep them coming. 0433 98 11 16. Bit of love for Max Gorn and Nick Natanui. Nick Natanui. Make a case for Nick Natanui either way if you can. 1-300-736-736. Make a case for why Nick Natanui. As I say, the boys only had a limited amount of time to do this on Dwayne's World today. So that's why I've picked this up and want to continue with it, because they ran out of time. But for West Coast Eagles fans who did get on and who did send their messages through, they were making the case in a big way for Nick Natanui. You can make your case on the other side of this. 1-300-736-736. Nathan and Craig, do me a favour. You'll be the first two on the other side of this and a stack more of your calls. Molly McDonald, still to come as well from St Kilda Footy Club on Saints Membership Day. With Time On here on SEN.
On SEN, your home of sport. Time On with Jack Everett.
18 after 6 on Time On here on SEN. Molly McDonald from the Saints to join me in about 15 minutes from now on St Kilda Membership Day. Another one that's been going absolutely bananas right across the day. Two memberships for the price of one for all St Kilda fans. In fact, you may not even be a St Kilda fan. You might just want to buy a membership. Call now, 1-300-467-246 for more information. That's 1-300-467-246. And if you have just jumped in the car or you have tuned the dial to us, Glenn Maxwell has been forced out of Australia's tour of South Africa due to an elbow injury, unfortunately. But back to your calls. It started today, earlier on, with Nick Del Santo and Dwayne Russell talking about who are the genuine superstars in the competition. And a lot of people didn't get the chance to have their say. The boys spoke about this very late in the hour, and it's been making news across the day. It's been doing big hits on sen.com.au as well. And that's what we do on this show this year. If it's been talked about across the day,
I'll give you your chance to have your say on it as well. So who are the genuine superstars in the competition? Dell put up five, and those five were Dustin Martin, Lance Franklin, Gary Ablett, Nat Fyfe, and Patrick Dangerfield. I made a case for Jack Riewoldt to belong in the superstar category. Since then, there's been a lot of love off the speckle text and on the phone for Paddy Cripps, and a bit of love coming through for Scott Pendlebury as well. Nathan's in Craigieburn and wants to have a chat about a pie who belongs in this list. G'day, Nathan.
Yeah, good evening, guys. My guy's Jordan DeGoey. I'm a St Kilda member myself, but I came across him when the Cadell Evans race was on in Geelong just recently, a week and a bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him he's out of contract. I go, "You thinking of coming to St Kilda?" And he goes, "It's a possible chance," the way he just gave me a smart ass as a comment, as a back.
Yep.
And I really reckon he can be a superstar because you got Dustin Martin. He's a very similar type to Dustin Martin type of player, and he's still young. And he's very hard to mark. He can play on the wing, he can play in the middle, and he can play up forward.
There's this rock star kind of vibe about Jordan DeGoey, isn't he? I find that he's the sort of player that when you go to the footy and watch, I have the good fortune of being able to call the footy, I watch what Jordan DeGoey's doing. And if I'm not calling that passage of play, I take my binoculars off and I keep my eyes on Jordan DeGoey in back play. There's just something about him. And when the ball goes near him, the crowd go up. There's this roar, much like there is when Buddy plays in Sydney. And Pies fans, they expect something to happen. And more often than not, something does happen when Jordan DeGoey goes near it as well. Nathan, appreciate your call. Michael from Narre Warren off the speckled text says, "I agree with Nick Del Santo and surprised. And I'm pleased that you want to include Jack Riewoldt." Yeah, I think there's a lot about Jack that belongs in this superstar category for a bunch of different reasons. Nick Nat knew his name again coming through off the speckle text, and Cripps isn't even the biggest superstar at Carlton. Eddie Betts. I think there might be a bit of tongue-in-cheek in that one. Craig's in Bowen Heads and wants to have a chat about Nick Nat Newey. G'day, Craig.
Hi, Jack. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
That's good. Yeah, I think Nick Nat, you just look at the way he plays, how spectacular he is. I know he's been injured a bit, but when he does play, he makes such a difference to the West Coast team. I'm a Hawks supporter myself, but I love watching him play, and I think off the field he's obviously huge as well, especially over there in WA.
Mm.
And he just seems like a really terrific person, to be honest. Just from afar.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that his question's not in character. He's you speak to anyone who's had anything to do with Nick Nat Newey, and they only ever have positive experiences. And that's to a man, to a woman, everyone that's had something to do with Nick Nat Newey. I guess in the last couple of years we haven't seen a lot of him play. So that maybe that's part of what's clouding this discussion around Nick Nat Newey, is that in the last 2 years he just hasn't been out there that often, unfortunately. His body's failed him a couple of times and we haven't seen his best footy. Fingers crossed for him. He can stay fit all of 2020, and we can maybe have this debate a little later on in the year. Craig, thank you. Let's go to Paul in Coburg up next. G'day, Paul.
Hey, Jack. How you going, Jack?
I'm good.
I'm a North Melbourne supporter, but my opinion is that Dangerfield's by far the best player in the comp.
Okay. So he belongs in the superstar category. What makes Paddy Dangerfield a superstar in your eyes, Paul?
Right, Jack. Number one, he's a quality guy.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he kicks on both sides of his feet 60 yards.
Yep.
He goes in, he goes out, and he goes forward and kicks goals. What else do you want?
Yeah, and he wins games. And there's, again, we talk about players that there's common traits, I think, with these superstars. Dal earlier on today on the show put forward the dictionary definition of a superstar. I reckon part of my definition of a superstar, if I'm just using my eyes and my ears, is that fans rise as one when they go near the footy. And yeah, they do that with Patrick Dangerfield, no question. Paul, thank you. More off the speckle text, speckle cash loans, up to $2,000 paid fast. 0433 98 11 16. Under the definition, Scott Pendlebury is not marketable, so cannot be a superstar. He's been a champion player. See, I disagree with that. I think Scott Pendlebury is so wholesome and so squeaky clean that he's the sort of player that I would imagine most parents would love their child to idolise, because He's perfect in so many ways for the way that he conducts himself. So is he outward in the way that he speaks? No. Does he go hunting media opportunities? Absolutely not. He actually probably tries to avoid them as much as anything. But if you're looking at setting the example, I don't think there's many better examples in footy than Scott Pendlebury. At Joel Selwood, Joel Selwood's name has come through a couple of times off the speckle text. We threw his name around a lot in our pre-show meeting, and yeah, there's a massive case for Joel Selwood, a massive case. Swampy says the Bont would have to be the closest thing to a superstar status, like Cripps, just as impressive off the field as on. Great young leaders, the both of them. Agree with Scott Pendlebury, but aren't you already forgetting the definition held of a superstar? Great on field, but needs to be known on the social scene too. Yeah, there's that. There's that. I mean, Scott Pendlebury's got Twitter, and he's actually really active on Twitter. If you're on Twitter and you follow Scott Pendlebury, he's always tweeting about the NBA in particular. There's always something there. No, I think he's in this category for sure. Off the speckle text, I don't have a name for this one. In fact, there might be two categories suggesting there's rock star or superstar. Selwood is a superstar. Dangerfield is a rock star. That's worth some thought. Mitch from Wallen, the Wallen Flyer. Nice to have him here on Time On. Jordan Ngoi, turn it up, Nathan. Not much love for Jordan Ngoi. Damien's in Strathmore. Hello, Damien.
Yeah, I'd definitely take Patrick Dangerfield out. His effort in his last game last year was absolutely deplorable. He got two possessions in a half of a football.
So he's out off one game, is he?
Well, I mean, look at his finals record. His finals record's been terrible for Adelaide and Geelong. He doesn't turn up when the big games are on.
Okay. Savage.
It's as simple as that.
Savage, okay.
No, that's not savage, mate. It's not savage. It's true. Have a look at his record in the finals.
In your opinion, it's true. But you're making your case.
Have a look at his record. Have a look at his stats and what he's done. That's not an opinion. That's a fact.
Oh, it's a
whether
it's
he's
a fact.
Got good or bad. Well, no, stats are. What? The stats aren't a fact. So if you get 35 stats, that's not a fact. So if you get 10 stats, that's not a fact.
No, but
that's not an opinion.
It's not numbers. Well, are just numbers, aren't they? They're not necessarily the be-all and end-all.
Yes, they are, especially when you're a midfielder. You've got to have good numbers. I mean, he just doesn't produce in finals. So if you have a look over his history in finals.
Damien, can I ask you then, if you want to take that logic, that's okay. What about Cyril Rioli? He made a career out of 12, 13 disposals in a game.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a champion. I didn't say he was a champion. I didn't even mention Cyril Rioli's name. He was there as a great team player. He was there as part of a team, and he did what he did as part of the team. He wasn't supposed to be the guy that got 25, 30 possessions. There are different players in every team. Some are supposed to get the possessions and be the superstar, and some are the role players and do all the hard things like Rioli does. I mean, they're completely different.
So let me throw this at you. So if Dangerfield spent more time forward than mid and kicked, let's say, kicked four goals and had 18 disposals and Geelong won the game, has he had a good game?
Absolutely.
But you just said he needs to get 30 to have a good game.
No, not as a midfielder he does, not as a forward. It's a completely different thing. Midfielders get 35 possessions just turning up to the game these days. It's so easy to get possessions. I mean, as a forward, it's not. Forward's completely different.
So what are you talking
about? He doesn't have a big enough impact in finals. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, appreciate your call, Damien. I'll disagree with you on that one. You've made your points. Qualifying final against Collingwood that they lost, he had 32 disposals, and in the preliminary final to Richmond that they lost, he had 27 disposals and kicked a goal in both of those games. I don't know how much more he could do. And I remember that Richmond game. I was there. He was far from their worst player on that night. He was far from their worst player, but for some reason, people want to point out the negatives on Dangerfield more than the positives. Damien, appreciate your call. That's what this show is. It's your opinions, and we love a bit of banter, and we love a bit of conversation. It's Saints Membership Day here on SEN. Up next, we're going to talk to Molly McDonald from their AFLW team.
On SEN, your home of sport. Time On with Jack Heverin.
Well, it will be when the Saints finally get their first goal.
Yeah, Patrikos gave it her best shot. Chrysler's tackle in the goal square was pretty good too. They might get another opportunity here. Patrikos again involved. We'll send it inside, attacking 50 into a bit of space. Mark taken. Play on from McDonald. Gets the goal. And they are up here at RSEA Park. The Saints' first goal in AFLW, coming the way of Molly McDonald.
It was a wonderful day at Moorabbin on Sunday. We've sung the praises of it all week on this show, and it's Saints Membership Day. You can get two memberships for the price of one, and you can call now on 1300 467 246. We've heard from some of the on- and off-field stars of the club right across the day here on SEN, but it gives me great pleasure to welcome in someone who will forever be a piece of history at the St Kilda Football Club, their first goal kicker in AFLW, Molly McDonald. Molly, good evening.
Hello, how are you guys?
That's a nice little thing to have next to your name for the future.
Yeah, it is. Very exciting. It's a bit surreal, but no, very exciting.
Take us through the goal. I'm sure you've watched it back. So you land with the footy in your hand, you look up, there's no one around you. Did instinct just take over and you think, right, I'm off?
Yeah, well, all my family say that I'm not great at kicking set shots, so I'm like, well, with a bit of turf in front of me, I'll take a run and have a shot on goal.
We were talking, as I say, all week, and I've just mentioned as I welcome you in about how good it looked at Moorabbin on Sunday. What was it like for you as a player to play not only your first game, but to have it in an atmosphere like that?
Yeah, really, really exciting, I guess. It brought, I think, a few nerves to the girls, especially walking out for our first warm-up. It was like, wow, you know, we do really have a lot of support behind us. And I think when we came out and the guard of honour was there, it was like, wow, this is real. And there were so many people behind us, which I think we're really grateful for as a club as well.
Yeah, and I reckon from an outsider looking in, Molly, and you can tell us more, the club themselves, I reckon, deserve a lot of credit for making Sunday such a special day.
Yes, definitely. There's so many people behind the scenes that have made everything come together. I think so much support staff have gone into it. Even like we were one of the teams who had no injuries going to round one, so the support and that we've had over the pre-season as well has been excellent from them.
So I went back and watched the game today. I saw the second half of it live, but watched the first half this morning. So in hindsight, I'm sure you've had a chance to have a bit of a debrief. Was it really just the first 10 minutes that might have been a bit costly for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think they got those three or four goals in the first 7 minutes. I think that's what probably got them over the line. But I think coming in as a new team and as a new group, we're probably just a bit frantic in that first quarter. But I think we definitely learnt a lot of things just from that first quarter. And in that second quarter, I think it was shown, in even in the second half, that we are a better side than that first quarter. And I think we've just learnt a lot from that and be ready to run out on Sunday against the Crows.
Now, take us back to your story, if we can, because everyone's got a backstory of how they came across footy. And I read an article on you that tells me that, in fact, you might need to thank your brother for discovering your love of footy. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. He has a big contribution to my love of footy. I was never allowed to play footy, I think, just purely because of the boys and stuff. But I decided to quit my rep basketball. I was played there at Frankston for a few years. And I was like, look, Mum, if I quit basketball, you let me play footy. And she's finally agreed to it. So got to sign up with CFIT, and yeah, that's where it started.
Have you always loved footy? I know we're just talking about your brother kicking footies at you from when you were 4 years old, but was that where the love of the game really started?
Yeah, definitely. I always loved being a part of it. I was always involved in his team, I guess, just running water and running the boundary with his junior side. So always loved it. Always loved having a kick with him at school, even with all the teachers. So yeah.
Molly McDonald from the Saints chatting to us here on Saints Membership Day. Two memberships for the price of one. Call now on 1300 467 246 to get involved. So just on that, you were playing basketball, and basketball can be pretty full on at an underage rep level. Like there's a lot to take in. There's a lot of training, a lot of travel and all that sort of stuff. But what was it that drew you back to footy?
I think there was just a lot of more community side in the football, and it's definitely shown especially now I'm at Saints at the AFL level, the community around Moorabbin is phenomenal, and there's so much fans behind us. And I also encourage everybody to try sign up as well. Like, I've had so much people come up to me and say, like, can we get a membership now? Like, it's been great. So I think the community behind us has been awesome. And it's just, yeah, I think that's what me towards more football than basketball.
I was listening to Brett Ratton this morning, the coach of the men's team, on our breakfast program, and he spoke about how St Kilda have adopted a one club philosophy, and about how the men's and women's teams are working together and working off each other, sharing their intellectual property and all that sort of stuff. How has that been for you? You grow up watching some of these players on the TV, and now you're sharing a training track with them, sharing a gym with them and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, look, it's pretty surreal again. But it's awesome. They really include us, and always say, ask how we're going and stuff. So I think it's been great also having like Brad Hill and Ruffy down at training. I think they always want to be a part of the club and a part of us girls. So I think it's really good from their support as well.
Outside of footy, Molly, what else is taking up all of your time? It's a busy time for you, but outside of that, are you looking at uni? Are you looking at work? Where's the rest of your time headed at the moment?
Just enrolled in uni, so I'm studying sport and exercise science at ACU, and then also working at Kelly Sports, just running kids programs with sports. So that's nice and easy and fun.
Hey, it is. You can stay in sport. It's a good way to be. Hey, as I let you go, you've got the Crows this week, who, I mean, the Crows have been the benchmark for a very, very long time in the AFLW competition. What are you expecting?
I think we just need to go out and play our football and obviously try our best. We'll put our best foot forward and hopefully get over the top of them.
Well, I reckon you're a chance. If you can just get rid of the first 10 minutes of last Sunday and then carry it on from there, I reckon you're a massive chance. Molly, thanks for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, thank you.
Molly McDonald, one of the young stars of the St Kilda Football Club, and in fact, one of the young stars of the AFLW competition, came through the National Academy pathway, and before that was involved in the Dandenong Stingrays pathway. She's going to be a seriously good player. And for Saints fans, two memberships for the price of one. You can call now on 1300 467 246. That number again is 1300 467 246. Just before the break, we're having some conversation and taking a lot of calls and texts as well on superstars in the competition. And we had a little square off, Damo and I, which is good fun. This is what this hour is. It's about telling you what's happened from across the day and getting you to put your opinions across about it all as well. Some saying that I won the battle, others saying that Damo won the battle. It's all fun in love and war. It's all fun in love and war. Damo, you know the drill. You're welcome back tomorrow as well. You're with Jack Heveron on Time On. I'm going to catch you up with some of the other stuff from across the day that you might have missed. If you did miss Brett Ratton today on SEN Breakfast, you're going to hear a little bit of that. We'll get the latest on Glenn Maxwell, who's out of the tour of South Africa. And Stuart Dew, is he set for a new contract sooner rather than later? Stay with us.
On SEN, your home of sport. It's Time On with Jack Heveron.
Coming up after 7, we start the sporting capital here on SEN with the NBL show. Pete Hooley in the studio with me. Two of the biggest names in the competition to join us. Melo Trimble from Melbourne United ahead of their, well, simply cannot lose elimination final in many ways game against Cairns tomorrow night at Melbourne Arena. I'll be there calling that game with Brendan Joyce from 7 o'clock. And we'll also talk to Lamar Patterson from the Brisbane Bullets, who halfway through the year, it seemed almost impossible that Brisbane could be considered for the playoffs. Now they're a massive chance to get there, and Lamar Patterson has been an enormous part of that. We'll find out how he's gone about it, and if he thinks he'll be the man to win this year's MVP award, which is crowned on Sunday. That's all still to come next hour as the sporting capital locks and loads. But let's catch up with some of the stuff from across the day that you might have missed. And I want to start with Brett Ratton. It is St Kilda Membership Day on SEN. I find Brett Ratton such a listenable person when he does any sort of interview, any post-game press conference. Doesn't matter what it is. He speaks a lot of sense. He's measured, and he just sees the world the right way. I found this, firstly, fascinating when he spoke about how the St Kilda Footy Club went about selecting their leaders for 2020.
We've had a voting system, and all the players have had a vote. It's the whole list was in front. We've done a fair bit on our values and what we stand for. You know, people call them trademarks, values. You know, we call them crest values. Every club's got a different model, but at the end of the day, that's you know, really what we're focusing on, the behaviours. So we put that in front of the players with the list, and they got to vote 10-1, and they've been submitted. And I suppose today will be the findings of what's come out of it. And the idea is, it's not just about the players. I think the votes that we tally up are going to be sort of 80% dominated by the players, but there's 20% of staff as well. And the staff got a vote, and it wasn't just me as the coach. We, you know, we gave our property steward a vote because he sees what the players do and you know, who hands the jumpers back and who respects him. Our head trainer, he got a vote. So it went right through the whole football department and different people in different positions. voted on the leadership group. So it's a little bit more whole club, but the players have predominantly the biggest say.
I don't know how every club selects their leadership group. Most are player-driven. I'm sure that the coaches and the CEO and the board at some clubs may have a say on it. I thought that was fascinating this morning, hearing that, to know that everyone at the club got a vote. The property steward got a vote, and people involved in the footy department got a vote, because it's not just about what you see on the field with the players. It's the way that they conduct themselves at the club and the way that they conduct themselves around each other and around other staff members. I thought it was really, really interesting, and maybe a bit of a snapshot for how things are going to roll under Brett Ratten. He was also asked with Gary and Tim this morning with their success and what he's expecting this year.
We're sort of really, not dismissing our past, because, we've had some great players and we've had some opportunities maybe to grab the silverware, but we want to try and get ourselves into a position where we can, play finals and get very competitive as a football club, weekly, not just have some great moments in a season. We want to be really consistent in our performance. And I think when you've got the likes of Roughhead coming to our football club and telling stories about, what success looks like, and he shares his story with all the players, and you bring in David Rath as well. We've got Billy Slater there. Zach Jones been at the Swans, and they've hardly missed finals in 15 years. Dan Butler's just come from Richmond. So everybody sort of tells their story and what it looks like and what it feels like, because, that's the journey that we want to get on and be a part of. And, I think when you hear these stories, I think, the players start to, you see the heads nod and think, yep, you're going to have to sacrifice a bit to get there. It's not going to be easy, but I think there's a real understanding of, what success looks like and how can we get there.
It was a great chat with Jared Waitley. You can download the full podcast now at sen.com.au. And if you just want to listen to a bloke who sees footy well and knows how to communicate, take a listen to that. It's well worth your time. Some news coming through this afternoon. Mitch Cleary at afl.com.au. Talk about a man that is just in form at the moment. He's reporting that Jack Darling has suffered a pre-season setback and has fractured his cheekbone at training. He'll be ruled out of West Coast's first Marsh Community Series game on February 27. That will also mean, unfortunately for Jack, that he'll be unavailable for selection in the State of Origin bushfire relief game, which is on February 28. And he may not play on March the 7th when the West Coast Eagles have their second preseason hit out as well. Tom Barras has been off the track in the last couple of weeks with a foot complaint. He's expected to join the group again in the next couple of days. So not necessarily what the West Coast Eagles wanted to hear in the lead up to the start of their season, but we've still got a long way to go. At the Western Bulldogs, reported today also via afl.com.au that Lin Jong has suffered a high-grade hamstring injury and will be out for a sustained period of time. And also Easton Wood has suffered a hamstring injury, but it is, at this stage, considered to be less serious than the one suffered by Lin Jong. So disappointing there. Another player who just can't seem to take a trick when it comes to getting his body right. John Longmire joined Gary and Tim this morning on SEN Breakfast. He was in the studio and he's got some strong views on the length of the season at the moment and the games within the season.
I'd shorten the season and shorten the games. So I actually wouldn't add to it. I'd just take it away. And I think that way you get more quality, you get your better players playing for longer and more and playing in more games during the season.
What's the right number of games then?
I don't know, Tim, and I think that's the challenge. And it's a balancing act, I understand, with the revenue. And I think that's part of, I'm not sure whether we can get it through other ways. I think that looking at the fixture itself is really is intelligent to do when reviewing it. Is there a better way to do the season, the fixture? Things like the State of Origin game, who knows what that might do. So I think we need to be open-minded, but I would start off with saying we've got to reduce the season and reduce the games.
Is it 100 minutes?
I think it's roughly about that, Gary. I think it's, if you could get it down to about that, I think that'd be good. But once again, it's easy for me to say. I'm not the one that's going to try and raise the money. And so it's, I say that with a full understanding that it's a difficult thing to do.
And it's not something that can be changed overnight as well. That's the thing that anything like this, it's not something that has an instant fix, unfortunately. So there's some merit in it. I don't disagree with anything that John Longmire had to say this morning. Speaking of the Swans, while we're there, Josh Kennedy spoke on Nine News a short time ago. We thank them for this audio. And at this stage, he's not ruling Buddy Franklin out of round one.
I certainly wouldn't put a line through him just yet for round one, knowing him and his mindset to get back and play.
Lastly, on an injury front, and this comes from Essendon, who Bombers supporters, they must just be rolling their eyes with the curse that they've had of injuries over the preseason. Reported by Pete Ryan at Fairfax Media that Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody has suffered a minor calf injury. They're expecting that he's hopefully still able to play in the preseason tournament, the start of the Marsh preseason tournament in a couple of weeks, but that's a bit of a setback. Look at some of the names that have had setbacks in the preseason for the Bombers. Dyson Heppel, Orazio Fantasia, Joe Danaher and his highly publicised groin, Cale Hooker, Tom Bell Chambers, which we told you about on Monday night, David Zaharakis. They've all had disrupted pre-seasons. And then last night we learned that Connor McKenna is headed back to Ireland for family reasons. And also, depending on who you believe, has got a few issues with homesickness at the moment. So not the preparation that the Bombers would have wanted going into 2020. To the Gold Coast Suns, who need everything to go right for them to have a turnaround in their fortunes, Stuart Jew spoke today on AFL Media and spoke to Damien Barrett about where his contract is at the moment.
We're pretty close, yeah. I've never been a massive contract person in terms of even as a player. It was like, well, if you're playing well, then it sorts itself out. And if the club's happy, that'll sort itself out. And we certainly appear very close, and it's down to minor details, which I'm not involved in.
Yeah,
so
but it'd be good to get out of the way, wouldn't it, before the season started?
Yeah, it would be, yeah. And I think it will be. So it's really mainly, I wouldn't say a formality, but it's the bulk of it's done, as I'm aware, and club and coach, me. I don't talk about myself in third person, but we're happy. We're happy, yeah.
Good. You able to tell us, two or three years extension or?
Well, likely. I mean, I've still got one more year, so I guess.
Two, as in this year, 2020. Yeah,
I've still got this year. So if we're able to get it done early and it adds a couple onto it, well, then that'd be fantastic. And probably aligns with a lot of our playing group as well, which is what we're, I guess, you know, again, everyone wants to look around and say, well, this is the group, and we've got a firm belief that this is the group that we've got. And obviously, you know, I guess at every footy club, some players come and go, but in terms of our bulk of our list, we certainly think that we've got the players.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. We thank AFL Media for that audio. A little bit later on the show about whether you would do the deal for Stuart Jew right now or would you just wait? And you wonder whether the Gold Coast Suns, who at times have jumped into some decisions early, I think they like what they see right now when it comes to Stuart Jew, but you just wonder whether they might wait. Speaking of the Suns, Brandon Ellis has spoken today. He's been moved in the off-season from Melbourne to the Gold Coast Suns and says, so far, so good.
No, you can sort of get away with doing what you want and going out where you want. The most people that you sort of get recognised by are mad Richmond supporters. I did soak it up probably a lot more than what I did in 17 because I knew it was probably my last quarter with the boys and her last quarter with the great Richmond Footy Club. The club sort of said that because of salary cap and everything, I sort of had to probably find a new home. So the club was really good in that front, you know, letting me know a couple of months before the season ended.
And lastly, and stuff you've missed before we finish off as well from across the day, a couple that you may not have come across, and one is a bit of a reminder here for you as much as anything else. Sheffield Shield is starting in the next couple of days as well. All of the squads have been announced for Victoria. No Will Pekowski and no Sam Harper as they continue to work their way through concussion issues at the moment. It all starts on Friday. New South Wales are taking on Victoria at the SCG. South Australia will take on WA at the Adelaide Oval, and Queensland will take on Tasmania at the Gabba. If you need to catch up on the ladder, because, well, we haven't had any games since the start of December. New South Wales on top, 5 wins from their 6 matches. WA, 2 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss. Queensland, 3 wins. South Australia and Tasmania with 1 win each. And it's worth remembering that Victoria, from their 6 games so far, have not won a game in the Marsh Sheffield Shield for 2019-20. For those asking about Brett Ratten and the chat with Jared Waitley today, as I mentioned, it is up in full on the podcast now, sen.com.au. Swamp texting me through, telling me that Brett Ratten is a class act. Carlton would never have hit rock bottom if this bloke was still at the helm. St Kilda will be the winner with Rats in the hot seat. I 100% agree with you, Swamp. They have absolutely got the right man to coach that team. The NBL show is up next here on SEN. Pete Hooley in the studio. We'll talk to Lamar Patterson, Mello Trimble, and find out the latest on Tasmania's quest for an NBL team.